WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, on Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. Bill Ford, Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Have some Jets to talk about. But first, just so you know, what we do in the break sometimes, Boomer and I were looking to see if there were nonstop flights from JFK to Baku in Azerbaijan.
They have a national Azerbaijan golf club there. I'm thinking like next week I'm going to Wisconsin and Sand Valley, that maybe we could, maybe at the end of August, we could go there and go take a golf trip to Azerbaijan.
You know, it might be a place to go maybe in the wintertime.
Can you fly there?
You can, but just
You can, but just no nonstop. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of different ways. Looks like Frankfurt is a hub.
Lufthansa, maybe Turkish Air, maybe Qatari Air.
I mean, there's this one where you go, it's basically a day. It's going to take you a day to get there, where you go from JFK to Toronto, Toronto to Frankfurt, then Frankfurt to Baku.
How much?
$667.
You would think it'd be more expensive than that because you're taking all these different planes.
Yeah, I don't understand.
So what's the one-stop price?
One-stop price, $751. Stop in Frankfurt, Lufthansa.
Yeah.
And then you get you can stop in Istanbul if you'd like. That's one stop too. So I mean, you can't go nonstop into Baku, which is something that, you know, is alarming. You know, you really want to make sure that you can get there.
Maybe you can fly into Tbilisi in Georgia.
Oh, okay,
and then drive
if they've got nonstops to Tbilisi. But I don't know. You rent a car there.
Yeah,
doesn't look like a great place for Americans. Let's just leave it at that.
You know? You don't think so?
No.
I don't know.
Looks like a hostage spot. Could be.
Could be.
Spot. Oh. Could be. You never know. I mean, listen.
I think of Rollerball. Remember the movie Rollerball that came out about, 10, 15 years ago? I feel like it was in that part of the world.
Really? Yeah, I mean, listen.
I love that movie, by the way.
I don't want to be that close to Iran ever.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
That's close. That's really close. That's like...
They got you as a hostage, man. That would be tough.
Yeah. Like, as your
Jerry would be in the power chair, though. She's being held hostage.
Like, Azerbaijan to Tehran.
Yeah.
That looks like, to me, like New York to Maryland. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they share a border.
Well, yeah, but it's a lot. But, I mean, it looks like the distance, or you know, it looks like maybe even closer than that. That might be like...
New York to Baltimore or New York to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I have a driving time for you here.
Okay. Right. We're talking from Baku to Tehran?
Yep. Nice. So it takes you 10 and a half hours or 10 hours and 54 minutes, depending on the Google map route you take.
All right, but it's not really like a straight shot. Is there a ferry? Or how about a helicopter?
I don't think so.
There's got to be a train. About a train?
You could hop on the boat with the Iranian pirates, and they can take you to Tehran.
There are no trains, by the way.
Okay. No trains. All right. Okay. So 10 hours. What's 10 hours south of here from New York City?
Would you say like Richmond, Virginia?
Yeah, probably there. So, I mean, you know, if I'm Richmond, Virginia away from Iran,
that's
something went wrong.
Too close.
Something went wrong, man.
Yeah, it's too close.
I don't know what I'm doing out there.
All right.
How did I get here?
I mean, but it does look like the potential for a beautiful coastline.
I was looking at pictures, and Baku has some really, really nice architecture. And it looked nice on the water and everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go to Nick, who's in Charlotte. What's going on, Nick?
Boys, Baku, they're going to be hosting a Formula One Grand Prix September 15th. So it's somewhat of a big deal of a place.
Wow. That's shocking to me.
So it could be like the Monaco of the former Soviet republics.
Wow.
Yeah, a much better race than Monaco, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Very good there, Nick. Appreciate that. Who knew that Baku was hosting such large events?
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a very nice city.
Like, does Taylor Swift's tour make it through Baku?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
It does not.
Please.
Where does she...
I have all the international cities on the back of my shirt if you want to see them.
And Baku is not on there?
I missed the cut. Maybe the next tour.
You want to talk about really putting the world on its ear. Get Taylor Swift out there in Azerbaijan.
I'll tell you this, as someone who, you know, went to see her internationally and looked at every possible city, what made the most sense, it would be on my radar if she was there.
Really? You would get that close to Iran to see Taylor Swift?
I'm not saying I would definitely go there, but it would have been enough on my radar to be one of the many cities that I researched.
Imagine Fleegs bopping around Baku with his Garrett Wilson jersey.
I went to the UK. That was exotic enough for me.
Pack. You know?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Camping out, tailgating in Baku. Ooh. Let's go to Kyle in Wilton, Connecticut. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, guys. So back in 2019, I think they had the UEFA final in Azerbaijan, and Arsenal was in it, and they had an Armenian midfielder who couldn't play in this massive soccer final because of the ongoing conflict with the two countries. That's all I know about Baku.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, man.
Political unrest. It feels like a political unrest type of place, you know?
Yeah, especially with a neighbor right next to them.
Oh, of course.
Armenia.
See, this is, once again, the
power. I know you know people of Armenian descent.
I am.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, well, the Arzumans are. Yeah.
Have you been to Armenia?
I have not, because through my lifetime, well, first of all, he mentioned it, the Azerbaijani Armenian war has been going on for like 30 years. So
what are they fighting over?
It's a piece of land that...
Get out of here, really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Wow. Never happens.
No, and then, basically, so we never went there when I was young. Is my grandparents were...
Is it religious-based? What are the...
Yeah, pretty much. Armenia's a Catholic country.
Okay.
Or a Christian country, I should say.
Yeah, Christian, yeah.
And they're obviously in a Muslim area, so it's kind of partially that. It's partially just, I think, claim to the land, but it's a whole lot of things that go into it at this point. I mean, I also never went there because my grandparents actually, well, my grandmother was from Iran, but my grandfather was, what's the right word, a refugee of the Armenian genocide, so he also lived in Iran.
So let me ask you, you bring an Azerbaijani woman home. You getting sideways looks?
Oh, my mom always tells me the story. She's like, they went to the church to get married at a regular, like a Roman Catholic church. And the guy goes to my dad. He's like, oh, so you're Azerbaijani. And my dad like flipped out on him.
Yeah.
And
see? Yeah.
I think that might have been an issue.
Man, wow. So if you find like the cougar of your dreams, like in West Virginia, you just happen to roll across an Azerbaijani professor at WVU.
And you never know.
I mean, that would be tough. That'd be like Romeo and Juliet.
It would be so much like that, you know? And as long as we stay out of the big place like Glendale, California, where there's a lot of Armenians, you know, I think we'd be all right. But, you know, hey, listen, love is love.
With all this Azerbaijani talk,
yeah,
I kind of feel like somebody's probably working on a remote for us right now.
I am not.
This is unbelievable.
I mean, I swear to God, I'm not. I had never heard of the country. And the power of the radio station, of course, there's somebody here. I just got back from Azerbaijan.
So, but the amazing thing, first of all, I can't believe you've never heard of
it. I never heard of it.
Well,
I never heard of it. Now, I know Zoo did. Fleegs, did you ever hear Azerbaijan?
I had heard of it, but I didn't like know anything about it.
We're finding out a lot about it this morning.
All right, let's go to Bill in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just got back from Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia last month.
Oh, nice. What were you doing there?
What were you doing there, yeah?
I'm trying not to get killed.
I mean, seriously, what were you doing there?
I was just touring there. I like that kind of adventure tour, and having never been to two of those three countries before, I thought I'd go, and I was part of a small trip out of the UK, and there's so many things. First of all, absolutely correct. The antipathy, the dislike, the hatred between the Armenians and the Azerbaijanis are just—it's off the chart.
Mm.
Monuments everywhere to invasions and multiple genocides. Mm. The Romeo and Juliet analogy, the metaphor you guys created, is absolutely spot on. But I just want to say one thing about Azerbaijan: gorgeous women.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. And you want to go to Baku. Baku is a very, very modern city. You won't feel threatened. It's got more gas and more oil than I think the Emirates does.
Wow.
Man, oh, man.
So it's an up-and-coming place.
But they're still in a war, though. They're still fighting over things.
Well, here's the deal, okay? The land that was referenced earlier,
yeah,
that cleaned out in November. Over 100,000 Armenians belong to this enclave, and they decided they were going home, and they did. So that land, which was surrounded by Azerbaijan, still exists, but is no longer in Armenian control.
All right, interesting. So it feels like it's a little bit safer, a little bit quieter out there right now. Bill, we appreciate it. I just want to take one more on this because someone worked in the embassy in Azerbaijan.
Okay, yeah.
So I want to in Baku. Troy in Virginia. Hello, Troy.
Hey, good morning, guys. If I'm out of breath, I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a 7-mile jog halfway through, so I pulled over so I could talk to you guys.
Okay. Nice, man. Yeah.
I'm dedicated, man. Listen every day. But, yeah, I worked in the embassy over there. I don't know if I can get into my job, really, but I was an advisor, and I worked with the Azerbaijan military, mainly their Navy and things like that. But it's a beautiful place. It kind of reminds me of Istanbul. It's the perfect mix of where Asia meets Europe. You got all kinds of great architecture. That last caller was correct. Beautiful women. I almost married one over there, but that's another story.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah,
wow.
It's a great place, yeah. And they've been hosting F1 for like 5 or 6 years now. This isn't anything new.
Now, sorry, you almost married one. Did you feel like she was just using you to get over here? One of those things, like one of those, what do they call those, 90-day fiancé situations?
No. I trusted her. It's just she wanted me to stop what I was doing in the U.S. and actually move over there.
Oh, no
way.
And
that was kind of the thing that I said, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like me and my wife in Pittsburgh. Wasn't going to happen, you know? Sorry, got to get back here.
They have Caspian oil. That's why they're so rich. They got this rich oil field of Caspian oil. They were part of the former Soviet Union. They were part of the Commonwealth of Independent States back in the day. And here's an oddball thing you probably won't hear from anyone else. It's one of the few, if not the only, places in the world they have mud volcanoes.
What? Wow. Mud volcanoes?
Yeah, they are small. They're like anywhere from like 1 foot to about 5 or 6 feet high. And instead of spewing lava, they spew mud.
Wow. Listen, Troy.
How's that for an unimportant tidbit, huh?
Yeah, right. Oh, wow.
Seriously,
guys,
man.
Guys, let me just ask him real one quick question. Yeah. Did they get along with Georgia or no?
Yeah, get along to Georgia. I did a lot of driving back and forth. I worked in the embassy in Tbilisi as well for a time period. And I used to drive back and forth from Baku. But very beautiful city. It's very safe. The people love Americans over there. So,
Okay.
And they have obviously they have Iran to the south and they have Chechnya to the north, which
yeah, I mean,
be
that's
a little.
That's a sandwich.
Scary.
That's a sandwich you don't want to be in.
Yeah, that's a sandwich spot where
Bingo.
We wouldn't feel comfortable. That's all.
Bingo.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Drew.
And if they do that, Boomer and Geo, we're coming over there, man.
Boomer and Geo live, Baku.
Why not?
Yeah.
Coming to you from the F1. It would be great to be part of the F1 over there.
That would be fun. Yeah, we cover Peter Schwartz in the mud from the volcano. Boomer and Geo live, Baku. All right, Fleek said I should take William in Woodbridge. I was going to move on from Azerbaijan, but let's go to William. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, Boomer and Geo? What's happening?
How are you doing, William, man? What's happening, brother?
Yeah, I was a roadie for 25 years for all kinds of bands, and I was there with J-Lo in 2012. It's a great place, man. It's a really great city, but I can tell you, I didn't feel like they liked Americans over there.
Okay. All right, so we got conflicting reports on that.
It's a great place for solid gold people, man. They definitely got deep pockets. J-Lo got paid very well for that show.
Was it a private show from like an oil prince or something?
It was on the Dance Again tour, the world tour. It was a big show, 60,000 people.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Okay. I mean, they and probably had to pay her a lot to get her in the sandwich spot between Chechnya and Tehran.
I mean,
yeah. It's an interesting place to say the least, but I would definitely go.
Oh, okay, we'll go. Yeah. We're not going, man. Like hey, we got 300 goals. Like, it's not so bad. Yeah. The women are attractive. You know, you get along with Georgia. you know, it's beautiful. I mean, we're not going to Baku. I mean, that's one thing I feel like Boomer, especially at this point in his life, who's whittling down things, is not going to put Baku on his to-do list or his bucket list.
I think Eddie would go hiking in Baku.
Eddie is so jealous that he is missing out on this conversation, because when we talk about places like this, whether it's in the U.S. or elsewhere, he's on Google Maps and he's like, oh, look at this. The famous Mount Bujukadu. I'd love to climb that. I mean, he gets so excited about these.
You think he knew about mud volcanoes before the, or if we tell him about them?
Good question. I don't think so.
That sounds right up his alley.
It does, but I don't think so. I mean, this is all born out of the fact that the U.S. women's team in the 3-on-3 basketball lost to Azerbaijan.
And you just can't bring yourself to understand how.
Right.
How did that happen?
Well, now that I know.
Right.
Because they're attractive women, apparently, in Azerbaijan. And they beat us. What are you going to do? But okay. I mean, that is the fact that you bring up Azerbaijan, and not only do you get someone who just got back from there, but somebody who worked in the embassy in Baku within 10 minutes of talking about it.
We could throw something else out there, and we would have the same thing happen.
I know. But it never ceases to amaze me, to be honest with you. All right, Jerry Reck will be back with his sports update. We still have some Jets and Aaron Rodgers and Rob Saleh to get to on this busy Thursday morning.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back. He's got another update. I'm assuming that Jerry had never heard of Azerbaijan like me prior to finding out that the U.S. women's 3-on-3 basketball team lost to them yesterday, 2017. Yeah, and we learned all about the country, Jerry. All about it.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, Zou hates Azerbaijan because he's Armenian and they've been in a conflict for a million years. So much so that if he brought home an Azerbaijani woman, he would not get approval from his family. I mean, that's how intense that rivalry has been.
You know, I think your family would like to see you happy, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely. I mean, it's also, you know, my dad passed away a long time ago, so he's not here for approval. You know, so
right. What about your Uncle Paul that works here?
I honestly, my Uncle Paul is so detached from
everybody.
I was gonna say from like his from like Armenia and like that kind of stuff, so he's not very concerned with anything going on over there. He's
here now.
Yeah.
He's here. I'm an American. I'm right. Living here.
Yeah, he was
I'm not
born
worried
here.
About anybody else's problem.
Exactly.
Exactly.
If you're from Baku, it's fine with me.
Exactly. Right. Keep it. I'm good.
All right. Very good.
I mean, there has to be a large Armenian population here, and of course, there's got to be a Azerbaijani population here somewhere.
Oh, there's huge. I mean, yeah. I pass Azerbaijani restaurants a lot, and really? I mean, there's a big Armenian.
Big seafood?
They have seafood there. They have a lot of, I mean, it's more just like kebab, Middle Eastern type food.
When I lived in Astoria, there was a restaurant on Steinway Street called Jort et Nuit, and it was Moroccan. And I walked in there. I mean, it just was not for me.
Really? You
know? I mean, octopus and all sorts of stuff. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, that's kind of the good stuff right there.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it is to some people, but for me, it was, you know, with my very basic American taste, was not having it. All right, Jerry, let's hear about the sports. Another Yankee win, plenty of other stuff. What's going on?
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. I'll give you a couple from the Yankees before we move on to some other stuff.
Ruiz's pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. Back goes Castellanos. That ball will hit the warning track. Volpe will score. Here comes Verdugo. Oh, what a day for DJ LeMahieu. A bases-clearing two-run double.
And that was after he had the grand slam. He drove in all six runs in a 6-5 win in Philadelphia. Winning streak at five. Here's LeMahieu on yes. nice to actually contribute again.
I haven't played the last couple of days, so it's kind of given me an opportunity to take a step back and work on a few things, and paid off today, and hopefully keep it going.
Helped out Nestor Cortes, who threw into the sixth inning for the win, says the fastball was working.
Something that I've been working on for a week or two, finally was able to execute it a lot better today. Thought the fastball was really, really, really good today, and that's what put me over the top today.
Quite loud.
You know, I will say this. Both the Yankees and the Mets have been playing good baseball. Yankees a little bit more so than the Mets, since the Mets swept them this year. So they've turned their season around, so to speak, at least now at this moment. But, you know, the interesting thing is the Yankees sweep the Phillies. If the Mets would have swept the Twins, I think the Mets would have been 7 games out.
Yeah, with the Braves losing again yesterday. Exactly. Not the Braves.
Well, I'm talking about the Phillies.
The Phillies, right.
Yeah, getting swept by the Yankees.
Right.
So the Yankees did the Mets a huge favor, and they could have, if they could have swept the Twins.
Mets aren't winning the division. Come on.
Oh, come on, man.
No. I agree with you, but the Phillies have played lousy.
Yes.
Mediocre at best since the London trip.
Yeah. Okay, it's just a lot of ground to cover.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot of games to be played.
Not as much. August 1st, man.
We're down to about 60 or so.
7-7, baby.
Yeah, I know, and that was a historic collapse.
Yeah, well, there could be another one.
There could be. We've seen the Mets come back already once this year.
Are 6.5 behind the Phillies. That's nothing. That's 10 games.
We're not talking about the Braves, we're talking about the Mets winning the division.
But I'm just saying, but the Mets are a game and a half behind the Braves.
Yeah, that's 2-2.
Now, last hour, we played David Sampson poo-pooing the trade of...
Poo-pooing, he poo-pooed it.
Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees. Well, someone who's fired up about this is your guy Adam Schein on SiriusXM.
My New York Yankees. Your New York Yankees. Our New York Yankees! Jazz hands, baby! Let's go! Let's go!
So he's quite excited, and to all the critics of the Chisholm trade.
Oh, look at his on-base percentage. Oh, look at his batting average. Oh, he played in Miami. Oh, what about the ESPN report about his personality in the clubhouse? Bigots! Losers!
everybody calls him Jism instead of Chisholm. Bag it, you Jism weirdos. His name's Chisholm, and he's got jazz hands.
Jazz Jism.
The amazing thing is, that's not an act, that's him.
Well, I do think he's putting on the schmaltz a little bit in the summer.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think he's walking around, doing that in the car,
He could be.
I'm with them. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been around him a lot.
Okay. Yeah. He's not ordering dinner doing that.
I think he
get the mozzarella sticks. Maybe just Caesar salad to split with my wife.
That's exactly how he is.
They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You think his boys are like that?
No, they're probably, no. I can't imagine.
Can I sleep over Stevens? Bag it, Dad, you loser!
I hope not.
Shut up! You don't talk to me like that.
That is so good.
The Yankees and Jazz will be home for the Blue Jays tomorrow. As for the Mets, they did lose to the Twins 8-3, but there's more in Met land, if you will. Evan Roberts goes on vacation Friday.
Uh-oh.
After he does the show, he is driving to North or South Carolina, doesn't matter. But the Mets play in Los Angeles on Friday night. And so here he is, talking about how he's still going to do his podcast with vacation beginning.
I'm going to North Carolina. I'm going to the beaches. And last year, when I went to the beaches, we did the ever popular Drunk Enrico. Okay? I got drunk, Hoff got drunk. We had a drunk Rico.
Now, he would go on to say he got drunk and did it drunk because the team stunk and sold off all their players. A little different this time.
I mean, you got to be careful when you say on the air, I got drunk and did Rico.
Not everybody knows what you're talking about, man. To each his own. Go, Evan. Go, Rico. He says he will keep up with the game Friday night against the Angels.
I can DVR the Mecca. And whenever I get to North Carolina at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can watch the West Coast Met game. Great. Option number two is I can just listen to it on the radio. Just listen to it on the radio as I'm driving. Keeps me as a companion. Keeps me up.
Makes sense. Both of them make sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying I would do it, but at least those two options make sense.
Yeah. Yes.
Then there's this possibility.
But my third idea, and I've never done this before, is I would listen to the game on the radio, and after every at-bat, I would voice message myself what happened so that when I get to North Carolina, I could score the game based on my voice messages to myself.
I mean,
I'm a loser.
Is he driving by himself or is his family in the car with him?
I imagine his wife, his kids, and his in-laws.
Or has he got them in a trailer?
I don't know.
I mean, we could not be two different people. I mean, I'm also going on vacation next week. I'm going to be on the island of Ischia. If Brandon Nimmo transitioned to female, I wouldn't know it.
He's going to be adamant.
He's going to be scoring games with his voice messages. I'm so addicted to scoring. I've got a problem. I've got a scoring addiction. I'm a loser.
I'll tell you one thing I'm thinking about next week, the Mets.
I'm sure you... Right, you'll come back and then figure out what happened when you were away.
Yeah, right. I mean, you got to detach yourself a little bit. You have to.
Man.
You got to. Then you come back and then you figure it out, and we'll be at Jets camp or Giants camp, one of the two, the first day I come back.
Jets.
Jets. You're thrown right into the fire.
My goodness.
But yeah, that's as pathetic as anything I've ever heard.
I love Evan, but that's a bit much. That's a bit much. Anyhow, the Mets will begin this 10-game road trip in Anaheim tomorrow. They've got the one game in St. Louis, then they go to Colorado. The White Sox lost to the Royals 10-4. That's 17 straight as they continue
keep
to
keep it going,
lose.
Baby. So, Jerry, how far is this going to go? What do you think?
33. 30. I don't know.
Records in the 20s, right? And the A's have like 22 or something.
Or something like that, yes.
No idea. But they're bad, and they do not win, and they got blown out by a good Royals team. And I saw that Clayton, the Padres beat the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw only went 3 2/3 or so. No strikeouts. Oh, there it's on TV. His streak of at least one strikeout per start ended at 423 straight starts, the longest since 1893. That's a long time.
1890. We don't believe anything from that far.
Here's what I do know. Since we've actually been recording stuff, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows? That's all we know.
Exactly. So to me, congratulations for setting the record.
Correct. Fair enough. I don't
23 games in a row, the 1961 Philadelphia Phillies lost.
What was the Mets, the 62 Mets longest losing streak? Anybody remember?
No.
Not remember. We weren't alive. Anybody know, I should say.
I was alive.
Yeah, but you were really small.
Yes, I was.
So I don't know that you would really have a recollection of that.
Yeah.
As G looks it up. While you do
that. 14-game losing streaks?
Yeah, because this article Mets? Here says another 14-game. Oh, that says the White Sox. No, the Mets had a 14-gamer.
17 in 62.
First base.
I should never trust Sportsnet.Canada.
All right, at Jets camp, Aaron Rodgers addressing the situation in Tahoe and Davante Adams. And he says this was all really about the reporter.
That particular guy was a tad bit irritating, I would say. It was one of those things where it's like when you... Just like somebody's in you, like asking the same question over and over and over, and I just was trying to just give him something and get rid of him. Yeah. But I think I was talking about golf.
You're talking about playing golf with Davante Adams again. On Garrett Wilson, needing to be a bit sharper. This was Rogers.
I mean, he's dynamic in short hair and phone booth. But when we get those little tiny details hemmed up, we're going to we're going to really be tough to stop.
And here was Wilson himself. You saw him, you know, heated exchange on the sideline during practice yesterday. So no issues.
He's vocalizing. He's pissed off. I know when we're getting our ass beat, I'm pissed off. You know, I may not vocalize it that way to the guys, but I'm pissed off too. So it's kind of a mutual feeling. It's like, I'm glad he said something.
There you go. So they are in lockstep with one another. So that's a good thing. Now I bring you to Tennessee. Defensive end Jeffrey Simmons, this was a few days ago. Radio host Buck Rising is doing his show on 104.5 The Zone. It certainly sounds like the two have some sort of a bad history together, because as Rising is on live, Simmons walks by him.
Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whenever you want to talk. Jeff, we'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now.
I don't care. You do a lot of talk on social media.
I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got
to
make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, if you want to sit down and talk about this, we can talk about it.
So he keeps yelling at him.
By the way, goodbye the radio guy.
Yeah, it's just resetting.
Really, yeah.
Well, what's some weather here? 72 and sunny. We can do this if you want. We can do this.
Obviously, it's one of their remotes, and yep, it's probably the guy that covers the team, right?
It certainly sounds like that, yeah. Yes. And I guess he's been critical of Simmons at some point. Here was
critical
Simmons
of the whole team.
Well, that too, sure. Here was Simmons apologizing the next day.
A lot of y'all have been here since I've been here, so y'all know me. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be seen as. I talked to Buck. We have an understanding. I have an understanding where I'm coming from. I have an understanding where he comes from. He has a job. I have a job.
And so hopefully all is now.
Yeah, I got to find this now. Buck Rising and Simmons.
Yeah.
See what he said. He did a lot of talking on social media. That's what I'm looking up right now.
Yeah, so like I would wonder, and I honestly didn't have the time to check. I don't know if he went after him personally or like Boomer said has gone after the team or the defense
I'm
or whatever.
I'm sure
it's
a little bit of everything, because especially when they're not winning, you know. And I'm sure Ryan Tannehill felt it.
Sure. Certainly make that case. Tonight in Canton, you've got the Hall of Fame game as the preseason begins with the Bears and the Texans, though don't expect to see Caleb Williams. Matt Eberflus told us a couple of days ago the ones will not play in this game. At the Olympics, the men's basketball team beat South Sudan 103-86. A lot of the conversation after that last game was Jason Tatum didn't play, so he was in the starting lineup yesterday, and Joel Embiid didn't get off the bench yesterday. So, and this is the one thing, so I'm watching this, the one thing I don't get. They don't play, and you can argue all you want, they don't play hard all season. They don't rest like they used to, but they still get rest days. Meantime, LeBron James is playing two-thirds of this game at the age of 39.
By the way, they're only playing 40 minutes, too, by the
way. I know that, but they're playing a lot of minutes, and they're playing harder in these games than they play in the NBA regular season.
Well, they got the USA across their chest. They do know that they can't lose. They know it. They will be ridiculed beyond...
You're not.
I mean, it would be unbelievable if they ended up losing the gold medal.
My point is, they sit there and talk about the grind of a season, then they can't wait to keep playing all summer. You can't have both.
Okay, I get it, but I also understand this is going to be, what, six games? You're talking about six games that they have to play.
Well, and the exhibition games they played as well in Abu Dhabi and other places. About,
yeah, they're going to Abu Dhabi on a private jet. Sound too
no,
bad
no, you're
mis-
no, you're missing my point. They talk about it's hard to play every other day. They don't even play back-to-backs anymore.
No.
But yet, all they do is play.
And by the way, so this they're done now, I think, until next week.
Okay.
Right? Who do they put? They play in the quarterfinals next week, I think.
What Jerry's saying is it just sounds hypocritical when they complain about things that happened during the regular season. So stop complaining. If you have this much energy and you play like this, you could do it all the time. Right. So stop bitching about it.
Right, $50 million a year.
Right, so they don't play until Saturday now.
Okay.
So I mean, it's got plenty of
just a time and rest. 2 days off.
You know, it's 40-minute games. And they're not really, they're playing against glorified college guys in some regards.
And LeBron James turns the ball over and Azerbaijan gets the gold medal U.S. men's basketball.
That would be funny. And Katie Ledecky won gold 1,500-meter freestyle.
Did you see that?
No.
Didn't she blow everybody out?
Everybody away.
Yeah.
I mean, she's amazing.
And I saw her. She got like a bronze in one of the other ones where there was an Australian swimmer and somebody else that were very good. But nobody was even close to her here.
The longer the swim, the better she is.
Oh, okay. So that's
basically what her signature.
I mean, look, there's no one in the shot.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
I think they showed a stat, too, or I've seen it before, where she has something like the top 20 times all time. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, she does.
That's insane.
It is. Wow.
Yeah, and John Ledecky, Uncle John.
Uncle John.
Really proud. Cool. It's very, very cool.
He's got to be there, right?
I would hope so. I mean, it's Paris.
It seems like it's up his alley.
Yeah. Can't you see him with that little hat?
Yeah.
You know, walking around with a baguette. Little John Ledecky out in France.
With a white wine.
Yeah.
A Chardonnay.
Yeah, with the white and black horizontal striped shirt.
Yes.
I can see that for John. All right, it's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Zoo's telling me that we got some live Olympic golf.
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yeah, baby. Let's go. So I did see that our buddy Frankie Borelli from Barstool in the four-play pod, who we played in a match at Glen Oaks, did just put out a video yesterday with Islanders star Matt Barzell. The two of them in a 1v1 match at Sabonic. So I got to watch that one because it's probably, apparently they've had some epic matches over the summer, the two of them. And it's fun because Frankie's the crazy Islander fan. Like, he is the guy, and he's playing his favorite player on his favorite team. So he's all nervous, and you see Sabonic and it looks beautiful. So that is very cool. So check that out if you can, as we support our four play brothers. And we got, there it is. Thank you, Zoo, for getting that on for us. Because who doesn't love the tradition of Olympic golf?
It was gone. Unlike any other.
Yeah, right, seriously. I mean, it had been gone for many years. It was back, I think, 4 years ago, and now here it is again. All right, there's some Daniel Jones chatter out there, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers and Rob Saleh that we will do at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Colleen on Long Island joins us right now. What's going on, Colleen?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I'm from Belmore, Long Island.
Okay.
And I have been to Ischia.
Ooh.
Two times now.
Oh,
in Italy.
Very nice. Ooh, yes. Yeah. I'll be there in a couple of days.
Have you been there before?
I have never been there before, and I will be there. It's our first stop on this trip, so I am very, very excited about it.
Okay. So, the thing to know, on Long Island and in New York, there's no smart cars. You used to see them a lot. You know, you don't really see them around anymore.
Yeah.
They're all in Ischia. And the roads are horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, my butt cheeks were clenched together the whole time.
Yeah.
It is one of the scariest driving experiences that you can have.
Yeah, I've heard this. I am fortunate to not get scared over those things. My wife, on the other hand, will probably get scared over these things. She also is a car sick, motion sick person. So I told her to bring her Dramamine because it's just different.
Oh, geez,
I mean, you're on a roller coaster, essentially, you know?
It is like being on a roller coaster. But the reason I was calling, there's one specific place that I really think, I don't really see how anybody could be disappointed. It's called Punta Chiarito.
Okay.
And it's at the top of this volcanic island that you're going to. Mm. And there's a man there. His name is Nicola. And there's a, you know, both times that I've been there, I look at him and I think, is this God? Is this who he is? He has lemon trees. He's walking around with baskets of organic mushrooms.
Oh.
There's tomatoes. He harvests honey, and he shows you, he takes you with him if you want to go. And he has, there's volcanic pools, they're heated. It's a gorgeous view, one of the most beautiful views on Ischia that you can ever go to. There's food, there's wine, there's everything up there.
So you think this man might be God?
I do. I do.
Wow. I mean, if this is the type of experience that I'll be having on this trip, it sounds pretty good. So lemons and mushrooms and Nicola, who may be God at the top of this volcanic mountain. Well, I'm even more excited now, Colleen, than I was before. I'm going to meet God on Saturday.
Okay, the name of the place, Punta Chirito. I hope you have a great trip.
All right, thank you
for taking my call.
Yes, of course, Colleen, and thank you. Man, is this man God?
Well, you'll come back and tell us.
Yeah, I will, that I met God.
And you're going to Positano?
Yeah, I'll be there as well. Yep.
What, are you staying up on the top of Positano or down by the dock?
I'm up.
Good.
Because
when you're down by the dock, you get all the fumes of the ferries and everything.
Yeah, I'm not getting no fumes.
No, you'll be up top.
Yeah, I'll be up top.
Serenus? Is that real?
No, it's the Serenus. We are having a dinner in that hotel.
Oh, very nice.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. All right. Nobody cares.
You know, it's not so much that. It's just I know I'm going to get a phone. If I say the name of the hotel, I'll get a phone call from like John and Glen Cove while I'm there. You know,
Eddie trying to get revenge.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, Eddie trying to get revenge. I don't need any of that.
If you meet God, you'll have something to talk about with Aaron Rodgers the day you get back at Jets camp.
Yes,
that is
about
true.
That
is perfect. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell him. I'm hoping to have a similar experience in Italy that he had in Egypt. Come back and we could share that at least. We're not going to. I don't even.
Well, you got mushrooms there.
It's true. And by the way, I know we're having some fun today. And I don't want to drag us down, but it is something that I wanted to share. As Al texted us from his vacation. So it was a few months ago that a woman called up Joan in Ridgewood, and she needed help with a bunch of stuff, and she called the wrong number and then got us, and then we sent the police over for a welfare check, and the Ridgewood Police Department was able to help her with her recliner and her washing machine, and it ended up being a very positive story as the community came together to help out Joan, because Joan's son, who normally helps her, was out on a trip. So Joan's son did reach out to Al via email yesterday and mentioned that Joan did pass away. So we were sad to hear that, and we were happy that she came into our lives for a day, and we were able to...
It was a great phone call.
Right,
it was really... And, you know, the fact that the Ridgewood police did what they did and everything turned out to be great, you know, that was one of the more memorable phone calls we've had over 17 years I've been here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was wonderful, but unfortunately, yesterday we get that news.
Yeah, and that got written up in a lot of places because it was, you know, and the listeners, too, that day were like, man, you got to, you know, you can't leave Joan hanging. You got to send somebody over there.
We got it handled.
Yeah, we did. Al took particular pleasure in the kudos that he got from that particular day by calling the Ridgewood Police. Al loves nothing more in life than to be considered a hero by calling the police department. Like, that's his favorite thing in the world.
I would agree.
More than radio and the passion he has for radio, more than his Friday night beer, the adulation that comes along with calling the police and the police doing something about an issue is the thing that he loves more than anything in this world.
The nice thing is that the police actually got involved.
They did.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. And we actually talked to... There's a video out there. You should try to scroll through and find that, Fleegs, and repost it. So there was a whole video of us talking to Joan, and then the aftermath afterwards of us on the phone with the cop, and we give you a recap there. So RIP Joan in Ridgewood. It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Zoo's telling me that we got some live Olympic golf.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah, baby. Let's go. So I did see that our buddy Frankie Borelli from Barstool in the four-play pod, who we played in a match at Glen Oaks, did just put out a video yesterday with Islanders star Matt Barzell, the two of them in a 1v1 match at Sabonic. So I got to watch that one because it's probably, apparently they've had some epic matches over the summer, the two of them. And it's fun because Frankie's the crazy Islander fan. Like, he is the guy. And he's playing his favorite player on his favorite team, so he's all nervous. And you see Sabonic, and it, looks beautiful. So that is very cool. So check that out if you can, as we support our Foreplay brothers. And we got, yeah, there it is. Thank you, Zoo, for getting that on for us. Because who doesn't love the tradition of Olympic golf?
It was gone, like, unlike any other.
Yeah, right, seriously. I mean, it had been gone for many years. It was back, I think, 4 years ago, and now here it is again. All right, there's some Daniel Jones chatter out there, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers and Rob Saleh that we will do at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Colleen on Long Island joins us right now. What's going on, Colleen?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I heard, I'm from Belmore, Long Island.
Okay.
And I have been to Ischia two times now.
Oh,
in Italy.
Very nice. Ooh, yes, yes. Yeah, I'll be there in a couple of days.
Have you been there before?
I have never been there before, and I will be there. It's our first stop on this trip, so I am very, very excited about it.
Okay, so the thing to know, you know, like on Long Island and like in New York, there's no, like, smart cars. You used to see them a lot. You know, you don't really see them around anymore.
Yeah.
They're all in Ischia. And the roads are horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, my butt cheeks were, like, clenched together the whole time.
Yeah.
It is, like, one of the scariest driving experiences that you can have.
Yeah, I've heard this. I am fortunate to not get scared over those things. My wife, on the other hand, will probably get scared over these things. She also is a car sick, motion sick person, so I told her to bring her Dramamine because it's just different.
Oh, geez,
I mean, you're on a roller coaster, essentially, you know?
It is like being on a roller coaster. But the reason I was calling, there's one specific place that I really think I don't really see how anybody could be disappointed. It's called Punta Chiarito.
Okay.
And it's at the top of this volcanic island that you're going to. Mm. And there's a man there. His name is Nicola. And there's a, you know, both times that I've been there, I look at him and I think, is this God? Is this who he is? He has lemon trees. He's walking around with baskets of organic mushrooms.
Oh.
There's tomatoes. He harvests like honey, and he shows you, he takes you with him if you want to go. And he has, there's like volcanic pools, they're heated. It's a gorgeous view, one of the most beautiful views on Ischia that you can ever go to. There's food, there's wine, there's everything up there.
So you think this man might be God?
I do. I do.
Wow. I mean, if this is the type of experience that I'll be having on this trip, it sounds pretty good. So lemons and mushrooms and Nicola, who may be God at the top of this volcanic mountain. Well, I'm even more excited now, Colleen, than I was before. I'm going to meet God on Saturday.
Okay, the name of the place, Punta Chiarito. I hope you have a great trip.
All right, thank you
for taking my call.
Yes, of course, Colleen, and thank you. Man, is this man God?
Well, you'll come back and tell us.
Yeah, I will, that I met God.
And you're going to Positano?
Yeah, I'll be there as well. Yep.
What, are you staying up on the top of Positano or down by the dock?
I'm up.
Good.
Because
when you're down by the dock, you get all the fumes of the ferries and everything.
Yeah, I'm not getting no fumes.
No, you'll be up top.
Yeah, I'll be up top.
La Cernus? Is that real?
No, the Cernus. We are having a dinner in that hotel.
Oh, very nice.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. All right. Nobody cares.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that. It's just I know I'm going to get a phone. If I say the name of the hotel, I'll get a phone call from like John and Glen Cove while I'm there. You know?
Eddie trying to get revenge?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, Eddie trying to get revenge. I don't need any of that.
If you meet God, you'll have something to talk about with Aaron Rodgers the day you get back at Jets camp.
Yes.
That is perfect. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell him. I'm hoping to have a similar experience in Italy that he had in Egypt. Come back and we could share that at least. We're not going to. I don't even.
Well, you got mushrooms there.
It's true. And by the way, I know we're having some fun today and I don't want to drag us down, but it is something that I wanted to share as Al texted us from his vacation. So it was a few months ago that a woman called up Joan in Ridgewood and she needed help with a bunch of stuff, and she called the wrong number and then got us, and then we sent the police over for a welfare check, and the police, the Ridgewood Police Department, was able to help her with her recliner and her washing machine, and it ended up being a very positive story as the community came together to help out Joan, because Joan's son, who normally helps her, was out on a trip. So Joan's son did reach out to Al via email yesterday and mentioned that Joan did pass away. So we were sad to hear that, and we were happy that she came into our lives for a day, and we
it was
were
a
able
great
to
phone call.
Right,
it was really, and you know, the fact that the Ridgewood police did what they did and everything turned out to be great. You know, that was one of the more memorable phone calls we've had over 17 years I've been here.
Yeah,
I mean, it was wonderful, but unfortunately, yesterday we get that news.
Yeah, and that got written up in a lot of places because it was, you know, and the listeners, too, that day were like, man, you got to, you know, you can't leave Joan hanging. You got to send somebody over there.
We got it handled.
Yeah, we did. Al took particular pleasure in the kudos that he got from that particular day by calling the Ridgewood Police. Al loves nothing more in life than to be considered a hero by calling the police department. Like, that's his favorite thing in the world.
I would agree.
More than radio and the passion he has for radio, more than his Friday night beer, the adulation that comes along with calling the police and the police doing something about an issue is the thing that he loves more than anything in this world.
The nice thing is that the police actually got involved.
They did.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. And we actually talked to... There's a video out there. You should try to scroll through and find that, Fleegs, and repost it. So there was a whole video of us talking to Joan, and then the aftermath afterwards of us on the phone with the cop, and we give you a recap there. So RIP Joan in Ridgewood. It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.